Hey, so before I start the show, I should let you guys know that this week did not quite turn out as we planned, because last week I think I mentioned that we were going to try to do Google Duplex this week. A series of unfortunate events happened, and because of this comedy of errors, we have landed upon a different topic this week with different people, which I'm actually super excited about because I've been kind of waiting to do this, and it's been sitting in the back hopper for, you know, an emergency. So I'm really excited about this week, but it is different than what we promised, so here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 126 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Derek, and joining me this week is Craig.
Hello.
And my wife, Tanya.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Tanya is here, so we're going to be talking this week about social media and our kids, and what should we be posting about them? What should we not be posting about them? What are the things we need to think through? Tanya is the social media maven of our family, and she does social media for church, so she has a fairly good idea of how social media works, more so than me. I mean, I
was gonna say, don't talk me up too much there.
So we're just gonna have a nice little chat about that. So. Let's get started. So I remember there was at some point, Tanya, you and I were having a conversation about like social media, and we were talking about like what ought to be like, how are we affecting our kids by our social media usage? Mm-hmm. I think. And that had to do with, you know, are we taking too many pictures? Because I mean, we've all had the parent who is taking sort of an obnoxious number of pictures.
Well, specifically posing
yes,
pictures.
Yes, posing and taking, and oh, can I get like three more, please? And let's switch people in and out and all that sort of stuff.
Can you change your top? Do you think you could change your top for this photo? Recreate the memory? I'm not making this up, people.
So this is like, yeah, so basically this is the previous generation's version of, you know, social media photography, except it wasn't social media. It was like scrapbooks and stuff and, you know, pictures hidden away in shoe boxes. And also talking about like, should we be considering what kind of pictures we're taking for our kid, like of our kids, and showing them online? Like at what point do we need to like, I don't know if we talked about consent at all. Like, will our kids actually want this to be online, you know, 10 years from now? Or actually, let's go like 18 years from now when they start getting a brain again after, you know, passing the teen years.
Ouch.
Hey, I was a teenager once too.
I was a different kind of teenager, apparently.
So what are some things that we need to be thinking about when it comes to social media and our kids? And should we talk about the pictures bit first? Like just taking pictures?
Sure.
You guys post pretty regular pictures and videos of your kids, but I wouldn't say nowhere near the obnoxious end of the scale, just the appropriately fun and documentary style end.
Well,
so obviously you've made a decision that's okay and that works for you and you're okay with that?
I do post pretty vulnerably on social media, which I've thought through a lot, but it is still scary reading some of the articles that we read through and research for this. I think that I'm continually finding that pictures of our kids are a blessing to people, and also being vulnerable in our parenting journey encourages people. Especially, I feel like children are a gift that is meant to be shared, but I think that there's definitely appropriate guidelines to that. And we can talk more about that. I think in the picture taking, I try really hard for my kids to not know that I'm taking pictures of them when I am. Mm-hmm. And for my phone involvement to be low key throughout the day. Because there was one point when I picked up my phone and Rainey was like, cheese. And I was like, nope. I don't make her say cheese or anything, but I mean, I tell Derek, like, I try to capture a moment, but if it's gone, I'm not going to recreate it. Like, I want to capture real memories, and I, yeah. But then again, you could talk about all of the moms who are trying to build a brand for themselves so that they can make money from their business. And like, there's moms carrying circle lights around with them and tripods to the grocery store. And I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. But I know that people do it because they talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And at that point, you're starting to have, I mean, unless you have a super good reason to be, you know, if you have like a business built off of social media, at that point, you start making it an idol, right?
Well, not to mention it's like exploitative as well. Like, well, you're sort of using a kid for business leverage, like to sort of get a, you know, get a profile or whatever in the, like the parenting space or the cool mom space or whatever it is that you're trying to build a brand around.
Oh, no. I was just going to like say, in defense of those people, I know a lot of people are able to stay home with their kids because they are paid by companies. But anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think for us, like I felt a little bit convicted when you guys were talking about not posing for pictures. Now, we don't set up like elaborate scenes or anything. I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think we've probably got more pictures of our son smiling towards the camera than just candid pictures of him reading a book or doing something that where he doesn't know that we're taking a photo at all, although there would be some of those around the place. But I think usually the ones we share are the ones where he's looking happy and cute, and that's not intended to be a bad thing, but I can see a reason for, I guess, for his level of self-importance and vanity and stuff, like not wanting him to, it, like same with Rainey, same with your daughter, you know, not cheesing all the time or something. Yeah, he's certainly not at that point. Right. He's more like when a phone comes out, he's more interested in, can I watch the Wiggles on that or something like that.
So, no, not the Wiggles.
And I guess I should.
Yeah, sorry. That's Australia's gift.
I was going
to
say, that's a properly Australian thing to say. And it's not, and don't feel like we're beating up on people that, that, you know, take posed pictures of the kids too. Like, you know, there's a, we're not going to, cause that's been the way cameras are used for like the last, I don't know, however many years that parents have had access to cameras. And then before that, when you had to pay people like hundreds of dollars to get proper portraits done and or whatever, I don't know.
Olin Mills.
Yeah, oh my goodness, the Olin Mills days. I don't know if that's even like hyper localized to us.
But that's like a culture, like you have the Olin Mills pictures on mm-hmm. your wall. So when you get the technology to recreate it yourself, you have an expectation.
Yeah. Like, that's a studio in our area.
Okay.
The posed backdrop type of pictures.
Yeah. With like the marbled texture and, you know, the really, you know, you got your kid's hair slicked and whatever. so none of that's bad.
My parents have one of those from like when we were all teenagers or early 20s.
Yep.
Chantel's parents have one or have like individual ones of her and her sister from when they were like 3. And they both hate them. Like they just look like they're like, you put us in the worst clothes and what, like, floral dresses, and they just complain. But I don't know. I mean, this comes back to, I think, Derek, like, what are you taking the pictures for? Derek was talking about the previous generation. So if we're looking at sort of historically how this has all sort of played out, you were mentioning like scrapbooks and photo albums and shoeboxes full of pictures and stuff. Like people would physically print pictures. That was the form of storage, I guess, because digital wasn't really a thing. So now that we do have a digital world, I guess we have more capacity for storage, and it's much, much easier to store things digitally, and we can manipulate them. So if they're too dark, we can improve them easily, whereas with film and printing, if it was a dark photo, it was too dark and you threw it in the bin or cut it up or whatever. So in some ways, I think, you know, I can see the concerns for, are we putting too many pictures of our kids online? Like Tanya said, there needs to be boundaries. Like, are we crossing certain boundaries that we should be more careful about?
Those kinds of things. Do you guys have boundaries?
Well, yeah. Like, I can't recall us posting pictures of him in the bath, for example.
Mm-hmm.
this is not to say that that's wrong. And I think if we have done it, we've probably done it so that certain areas aren't visible, if you know what I mean.
Put a little shampoo bottle where necessary.
Yeah. or just take it from a different angle so that you can sort of get the edge of the bath in the shot instead of the whole bath. But yeah, we sort of tend to steer clear of that. It's more when he's fully clothed and, you know, playing at the playground or playing his little ukulele or something like that. Like when he's doing something that he enjoys doing and he's having fun doing it. That's sort of more often when we'll do it. Or special occasions, you know, someone's birthday, Mother's Day, whatever. We'll take photos of, like, you know, I took a photo of him and my wife on Mother's Day and posted that. So, yeah, so we sort of have – and we also don't mention his name every time. But his name is out there. Like we have, you know, people know what his name is. So I think some of, like Tanya was saying, you can get scared by some of these articles. I think for us, at least at this point, and it's early days in our parenting career, I guess you call it. But, you know, we've sort of made the decision that the benefits of sort of documenting this phase of life and sharing that with people who do care, like grandparents and stuff like that, in a quick and accessible way, outweighs the potential dangers. And I think that's probably largely to do with the fact that we do try and have some restrictions or some boundaries that we place on what we post and how often we post and those kinds of things. Not that we have like a schedule, but, you know, we just try and have some sensible guidelines that we sort of keep within so that we're not putting up things that will come back to cause issues later on in life or whatever. But I think there's a lot to be said for the digital storage method over pictures in a shoebox, because even that wasn't infallible. Your parents could print, you know, get photos developed and send them off to the other side of the country to your great aunt Edna, and you're not going to know what she does with them. She could put them up at the local post office or take them to a Rotary group or whatever. Like, you know, you know, you then have no control over them anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know that drawing that distinction as like digital is more dangerous than the other way. I mean, it's more prevalent and it's easier to spread, but actual danger, I don't know. That's hard to assess. And I wouldn't necessarily jump to that conclusion.
Yeah. This can get into like a privacy versus obscurity versus like security topic, where like, if you're obscure and you don't have terribly interesting pictures, or like terribly like pictures that are different from other kids, like when a third party is observing them, then like you're probably fine. Nobody's going to be interested in your pictures. So some of it is about just being wise about, you know, don't, you know, right, don't take pictures of your kid naked, even if they're really cute, like that sort of stuff. Sometimes that, I mean, that can be an issue, obviously, if we're talking safety. But what other things do we have to think about when we're, if we go into like oversharing, like what things ought we be thinking about aside from, you know, the general safety stuff?
I think that I liked how one article put it, that we're creating a digital DNA for our kids that they can retrace in the future. And what kind of a digital DNA are you creating for them? I also think that our social media usage is an example to them now, which is something like,
oh, yeah,
a part of this discussion that we definitely need to be thinking through. What are they picking up from that? I mean, the things that teenagers are experiencing on social media now in comparison to what I was experiencing on social media is just crazy to me. Like when you helped to teach that technology class at church, and we were talking about how some of the teenagers will share a photo and then take it down if they don't get enough likes. And there's this constant pressure to look perfect all the time, because you're going to go somewhere and you might run into someone, and that worry that it's going to be documented and out there forever. And I remember as a teenager, like feeling that one-up game. But now I look and watch the teenage interaction and on like Instagram, and a teenager will be like, "You look so ugly," and like point out like the smallest thing, LOL. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like incredibly passive aggressive, or like straight up like attacks, you know, to feel better about yourself and put somebody else down. And that's kind of, it's terrifying to think about my kid walking into that. So, taking in a social media following or something makes you think about that too.
Yeah, we have an incredible opportunity to like model good social media usage for our kids, like as they're growing up. Like, and our generation kind of has a unique advantage of that because we were like the generation, the millennials, that kind of took social media and ran with it. Now the younger generation,
we're the guinea pigs.
Yeah, exactly. We're the guinea pigs. We've kind of sort of figured this out a little bit. You know, we can use some of our wisdom to teach our kids, which I'm sure there's going to be like huge technological differences socially that they'll have to deal with that we didn't, that we don't know quite how to address. But some of this we can, you know, model well and, you know, be okay with kind of a picture that we wouldn't be quite as proud of perhaps, but that we'll post anyway and be proud of it. I can see that being,
when you say we've figured it out a bit, I feel like maybe we feel like we've figured it out and people like Mark Zuckerberg are actually just watching us on the hamster wheel and going, oh yeah, keep thinking you're doing it right. keep posting all that stuff.
Honestly, I feel like that all the time. That's part of the reason why I don't do Facebook much anymore. Cause I feel like I can really only handle one social media, like one constant social media feed in my life, which happens to be Twitter for me. I think it happens to be Instagram and Facebook for Tanya.
Don't share pictures of your kids ever on Twitter. That's what I gleaned from articles.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
If you care about privacy, turn way up your Facebook privacy settings and check regularly. Mm-hmm. Make your Instagram private and don't share pictures on Twitter ever.
Unless you make your Twitter profile private, which you can.
Okay. Well,
but nobody's going to follow you.
Why is Twitter inherently more dangerous than other platforms?
I don't know. It just said, do not post any photos of your kids on Twitter ever. I don't know I don't interact with Twitter that much, even with like our church's social media. I post to Twitter, but I'm not always sure what's going on because I'm pretty new at the tweeting game. It's only been like a year and it still kind of scares me and bothers me. So,
yeah, getting too personal on Twitter can be. And it's not really a super great forum for that anyway. But yeah, I would probably agree with that for the most part. But that could lead into another great topic of at what point should we be fearful or be fearing? Well, I guess we kind of hit this earlier on, but maybe we can hit it directly. How much fear do we need to have in our social media usage? And at what point should we be like, you know, the Lord has them, and I think this is wise, and, you know, I'm just going to go with it.
That's a good question.
As I was thinking through this, because, well, I'm still dealing with a little bit of postpartum anxiety, so researching stuff like this, you know you're going to find parents on the internet who are terrified about everything, And I've read articles about parents being like, my kid is not going to have a Facebook. My kid is not going to be online. My kid is not going to have access to a phone. Like, I've read those articles and I understand the fear.
Postpartum anxiety sucks. It's not fun, but it's also not, there's a lot of it that's also not real that distorts our reality, which we've definitely had that conversation and you're very well aware of. You're very conscious about like what is real in your head and what is made up, and which is something I really appreciate.
Yeah, but I feel like fear is a main motivation for moms, and I mean on any pregnancy or parenting page that moms are in, you post a picture of your kid and someone like jumps on like, oh, is this like, you know, is this an issue? Like, is this a health concern? You know, kind of out of the blue. And it's just in our desire to protect our children and watch over them. I think it's hard often to trust the Lord in different situations and run with fear under the guise of caring. So the thing that I kept thinking about through this is like being wise, like the Bible calls us to be wise and innocent. Wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Which I feel like is a good thing, a good good form to throw into life in many places, and mm-hmm. it kind of fits here because post innocently, but also like be wise, because honestly, like we are interacting with a world of faces that we don't know every day with our children. And I expect the best out of the people around me, but I also try to live carefully. So, I mean, I probably shop next to a pedophile. I probably interact with people that I wouldn't want my kids to be alone with. And like you never know if your child is getting photographed at the pool or something like that. I mean, it's not crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm.
You also can't like live your life expecting that from every scenario.
Exactly. So I think being wise in what you post and innocent in what you post and also trusting the sovereignty of God is where I fall in that. But mm-hmm. obviously people might have different convictions and follow out what God has laid on your heart to be the appropriate interaction with the internet for you and your child. But it's kind of a huge responsibility to represent someone on the internet.
Yeah, it is. Let's take a short break to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Missional Wear. And we've got new stuff for you this week. As always, Missional Wear is your Reformed theology gift shop. Lots of stuff to see there as far as designs and apparel and accessories go. But they just announced that now they have onesies and toddler tees, which that happens to fit perfectly into my life right now. Of course, these have all the great designs that you've come to expect from Missional Wear, with their high quality line drawings of theologians' faces and various refrains of the faith, such as Soli Deo Gloria, saved by grace alone, something in Greek that I don't understand, but I'm sure is referential, and other great stuff. So you can go check them out at missionalwear.com. They've been making things since 2012, and they've been knocking it out of the park ever since then. So again, to get some Reformed theology apparel or accessories, go to missionalwear.com. And tell them we sent you. Thanks to Missional Wear for sponsoring this week. So, if your child ever wanted you to take down a picture of them, would you?
Yes. Without thinking about it for a long time. that would be my initial answer. Yes, I would.
Well, that was easy. Tanya's nodding your head. Yep.
Yeah, I think a lot about, like, is what I'm posting now honoring my child now and later. But I think that my social media interaction for my kids will go way down once they're old enough to interact with social media themselves, because I just think it won't be cool anymore for them, for their mom to be posting pictures. And I don't want to impact their relationship. And like, they'll be representing themselves then. If mm-hmm. people want to like see pictures of them, then my kids will have control of it then.
Mm-hmm. And that's just loving your neighbor stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
loving your neighbor is as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I was expecting far more discussion there, but that's easy.
I mean, I think there's a few reasons why I would take it down. I mean, the article that you guys pointed me to before this episode was mm-hmm. saying that from the mum's perspective, she didn't really feel like she actually had a right to represent her kid on social media. And we talked a bit, I think, Derek, you mentioned before about consent. I guess it's at younger ages, like at sort of toddler age group, how do you do consent really? Like, it comes back to the nappy changing thing or diaper changing thing that people are trying to say at the moment. We should ask our kids permission to change their dirty diapers. Like, it's just, you'll end up with a kid who gets sick because they don't want it done. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids kind of push back against things that are quite normal and need to happen because they don't want to do that at the time and they've got a different idea.
And too many choices are overwhelming.
That's true too. Yeah,
that's right. And some things as parents, I think we just need to be able to say to our kids, you know, we are making a decision and we're making that decision as your parents who love you. We're not trying to do the wrong thing. We're trying to do the right thing. But like Tanya was saying, once the kid is old enough to be a bit more aware of how the world works and building their own sets of friendships and relationships and network, social networks in like an offline sense. I'm talking more about like actually sort of having their own friendship circles and stuff like that. Then I think, yeah, if that, you know, if they don't like a picture of them from when they were younger or something, or they're embarrassed by it, sure, take it off. Like there's no, I don't see any reason not to do that. I think it would be sort of disrespectful and a bit rude to say, no, I'm just going to leave it there. Too bad. Like, I'm the parent, you're the child. This is how it is.
Yep.
But it's
friend took a picture of you and you asked them to take it off, yeah, and they're just like, to honor no, of course decision. Not. Keep it up yeah. there.
But I think what Tanya was saying is true, like about these younger years, like there is a difference. And I think for me, I'm actually wondering whether we might sort of taper off the social media involvement with our kids, even once they hit primary school, just because I think life is always interesting. There's always things happening, but I think it sort of takes a different turn at that stage and you get into more of a routine. There's learning happening for sure, but a lot of it's happening in a classroom and it's sort of book learning. And at home, they've kind of already got a lot of their sort of basic life skills, and it's more about developing into, you know, young adult and then, you know, adolescent sort of through those years. So other way around, adolescent then young adult. So yeah, I think as that sort of slightly older age bracket hits, I'd imagine we'll be less worried about putting pictures, you know, getting pictures of our kids for the purpose of putting online. I think we'll still document things so that at the 21st and whatever we have, you know, have memories to look back on. But I don't know that our sort of online social media posting will continue at the same rate. I think I can certainly see reason for pulling back there. And I think what the reasons Tani gave were a good part of that as well. But you guys might be different. That I'm not trying to bind anyone's conscience to that. I'm just saying for me, I think that's one of the reasons that we do take as many pictures as we take is because of the stage that we're in.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we're going to homeschool, so we're going to be in a very different life scenario than you will too. So,
so we'll our kids will be unique. I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness.
Aren't all kids unique? every kid is a snowflake.
It's so true.
Yes.
But it's funny. I studied, both my wife and I studied education. Like we're both qualified, have teaching degrees or whatever. And so they drill into you like student-centered learning and every kid approaches things differently and every kid is unique. And my wife's, you know, read all these pregnancy books that say every pregnancy is unique and all this kind of thing. But there's still a part of me that goes, yeah, but in some ways everyone's the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in some ways everyone actually wants relatively similar things out of life, and they like, you know, there are actually really strong similarities due to image of God and things like that. And sure, there's levels of individual uniqueness, but I think sometimes we take that idea too far, the uniqueness idea. But when you're talking about your own kids, you know, it's your own kid, and you kind of get a really close inside look at the fact that two people come together and you know, all of a sudden, wham bam, there's a brand new human and it's a different person and it is unique, and there's a lot of joy and fun to be found there.
What else do we want to hit yet?
I was thinking earlier that if I was a celebrity and had a lot of unknown people looking on my profiles, I would probably be more private with my sharing, especially for like my kids' safety and stuff, because that would go farther. So I'm trying to figure out if that's like a double standard or not. But also, Derek's parents are kind of mini celebrity status. People know them all over the place, and we'll be out and about and they'll be like to our kids, oh, you're Shirley's granddaughter and things like that, which is a weird experience to have strangers come up to you and say things like that. And Shirley always asks
for Derek. We've never been told your parents are famous.
They're health coaches, and they're very high up in their organization.
His mom has lost 250 pounds with the company, so
they know a ton of people, like just by the nature of how many people they've coached and worked with.
And they're fantastic people too. They just like network everywhere they go. I mean, like make friends everywhere.
Yeah.
Plus, people online just kind of eat up whenever they share things about their grandkids. But recently we had an incident where there was a woman's magazine asking for pictures of the kids. So we had to go through the process of making sure that they don't own any image of our kids because like Derek asked for something to sign.
Yeah, I got real like hardcore libertarian being like, nobody owns my pictures type of stuff.
Yeah, but what did they send you? It was
their legal department was having issues that weekend for completely different reasons. So I just ended up making a form saying, okay, you can only use these pictures for this event, for these purposes, and for, you know,
they send them a form saying like, we will own all photos at all times and like your voice and your hair and like anything that
your mother's maiden name
and your firstborn child.
Yeah, well,
but
and you signed that.
No,
that's not the one you wrote. That's the one.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what they would have given you.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, just it's all about trying to think about how you can, you know, keep your kids from identities from being used for, you know, what you don't want them to be used for. And it's always a balancing rope that's always semi inconsistent when we're talking about social media, but that's where the wisdom comes in and you got to do what you can. So,
Ben's going to like that you've mentioned balance in this episode.
Yeah. We got to bring it all back to balance. That's right.
And in the balance note, if you are looking to be more private, you can go through your friends list and cut out anyone that might make you feel uncomfortable or be borderline. You can check your sharing preferences on current and past photos, especially profile photos, I guess. You can set your Instagram to private. I read that you should never share on Twitter, but you can go research that for yourself.
That's right. I've gone through and deleted the photos of my kid on Twitter.
And then you can go through and also delete every single social media account if you want to.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Well, that was my useful information closed down by Derek's
No. It's good information. It's good advice.
And don't location share. Just don't do that. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be doing that anyways.
It's just unwise. All right. So that about wraps us up for this week. If you would like to talk about this show, we would love to hear your opinions in our Slack. You can go to slack.techreformation.com to sign up and get in there.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter at TechReformation and visit our website at techreformation.com to search through past shows and topics.
And if you would like to hear more of Tanya and I talking, you can go to settolearn.com and either subscribe there if the show is up or subscribe to our Twitter right now where until we get the show up. But
we do have an Instagram too.
We do have an Instagram and you
and
can find
a
it
few
there too.
Awkward photos on there.
So
none of our kids, though.
For those of you who are not aware, Tanya and I are starting up a show about, you know, life, parenting, and marriage. So if that's something that interests you, come check us out. That will be upcoming. So
I went to settolearn.com and then it took me to twitter.com, and since Tanya said she wasn't super au fait with Twitter, Now I'm wondering what's happening with this show. Is this just a show about Tanya's learning about Twitter while she learns about parenting? Or is it just a show about learning about parenting?
No, I run the Twitter. She runs the Instagram. That's how this how this is going to work, basically.
We try to stay in our skill sets.
Yeah, exactly. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, I ain't looking back. No. If you would like to talk about the show this week, we would love to get your opinions.
Sorry, go ahead.
What? Tanya does this when I'm doing.
I thought you already warned them about this. I didn't.
I
know
warned
that this
Ben
was
about
take
this.
Craig off of
we would love to get your.
I'm really sorry, Craig. This is something that I do, especially when Derek's like working really hard on an ad spot and I hear him working on it for the seventh time, just like jump into the room and shout something inappropriate that he can't keep in. And then, yeah.
Well, that makes life fun.
Oh, yes.
adds a level of.
It's normally payback for something that he did.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to come in and shout something. Yes. I'm always warning him that I'm going to come in and say something like that during the episode. But anyways, I'm going to let you wrap
I'll look out for that in future.
Yeah.
Hope to look see forward. More of it. It was a highlight.
I was actually most worried that I was going to offend you, so
it's all right. We I'm hard to offend usually.